WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Sugar Man, won't you hurry? 'Cause I'm tired of these scenes.
The music of Sixto Rodriguez, and now begins our annual Oscar-nominated documentary series. We'll be talking to the directors of each of the five nominated feature documentaries. And why are we playing this song? Because first up is Malik Benjalul, the director of Searching for Sugar Man. It's about Rodriguez, the artist singing the song we're playing right now. Malik, welcome to WNYC and congratulations on the nomination. Pretty good for your first film, huh?
Thank you, sir. Yeah, exciting times.
And this film is about the search for Sixto Rodriguez, the singer-songwriter who so many people in the U.S. have never heard of, but who's had a huge following in South Africa since the 1970s. Who's Rodriguez, and how did you, a Swedish guy, get interested in him?
Right. Rodriguez made two albums in the early 70s to great expectations. The producers were working with Marvin Gaye and Stevie Wonder, and they said that this is better. This is the best album we ever made in our careers. And the album is released and sells nothing. It sells 50 copies. And he stops. You know, he understands, I don't have any talent. No one want to listen to my songs. And he starts to work as a construction worker in Detroit. He lives in a ramshackle house for 30 years. And then one day he gets a phone call, and it's some fans in South Africa who tells him that in South Africa you are more famous than the Rolling Stones. And he hangs up the phone. He thinks it's a crank call. It's a practical joke. So they call him again and says, listen, this is true. Did you make an album called Cold Fact? Yeah, I did 30 years ago. In South Africa, that album is more famous than Abbey Road. And he had no clue. So that's in very brief, this story.
So this happened by sheer word of mouth in South Africa without any record company push or anything?
No, it was this phenomenon. I mean, he sold hundreds and hundreds of thousands of albums. And
he must have known, right? He must have been getting the royalties, or was somebody stealing them from him at the record company?
That's right. I mean, he didn't get a penny. If you know, that's one way you normally understand you're famous. You get royalties. He didn't. He didn't get one.
What happened to him?
Well, what happened to the royalties? No one knows. I asked a few, the people basically who were involved, and then they all say, well, it wasn't me. But they all say it wasn't me. So who was it?
Here's a clip from the film of Steven Sugar Steverman, a Rodriguez fan who features prominently in the film and who heads up the search for Rodriguez, explaining what Rodriguez's music meant to South Africans in this clip.
The album was exceptionally popular. To many of us South Africans, he was the soundtrack to our lives. In the mid-70s, if you walked into a random white liberal middle-class household that had a turntable and a pile of pop records, and if you flipped through the records, you would always see Abbey Road by the Beatles, you would always see Bridge Over Troubled Water by Simon & Garfunkel, and you would always see Cold Fact by Rodriguez. To us, it was one of the most famous records of all time. The message it had was, be anti-establishment. And the one song's called the Anti-Establishment Blues. We didn't know what the word anti-establishment was until it cropped up on a Rodriguez song. And then we found out it's okay to protest against your society, to be angry with your society.
And we'll play a little bit of Be Anti-Establishment coming up in a little while. But listeners, any South Africans out there by any chance who were influenced by Rodriguez, Do you agree with the take of Steve Stevenson in that clip from the Oscar-nominated documentary Searching for Sugar Man, that this is what everybody had? Abbey Road by the Beatles, Bridge Over Troubled Waters by Simon and Garfunkel, and Cold Fat by Rodriguez. Anybody know this music? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, as we continue with the director of the film, Malik Benjalul. How did the record Cold Fat, that was the name of the album, which bombed in the States, make it to South Africa in the first place? Was it a bootleg copy? Or was it actually distributed there?
No one really knows how it initially went. There's some stories that there was this exchange student who got to South Africa and brought a copy. But very, very soon, it was a very, you know, completely official release. It was released by Polydor Records, is a major label, and that's why it became so huge. I mean, it was in every record store. You couldn't hear him on the radio because he was censored. In this time in South Africa, it was, you know, the apartheid society, it was very censored. Say there was a state monopoly on radio, so there was only one station basically, and that station, which was the apartheid, you know, the government station, and on that station Rodriguez was not allowed to be heard.
Do you think his music had any influence on the movement against apartheid?
Well, so they say. I mean, I spoke to those people who were the igniting spark for the white anti-apartheid movement, and they say that it was a group of rock bands involved in the early 70s, and they all say that Rodriguez was our main inspiration because he was the only one who sang anti-establishment lyrics. If you sang, you normally got banned. And somehow, Rodriguez only got semi-banned. He got banned from radio airplay, but you could buy the album. So that's generally considered a mistake by the censor board. Normally, you couldn't sing stuff like "The system is going to fall soon" to an angry young tune, which is a lyric in one of Rodriguez's songs. So he was the one who inspired those young kids, college kids at universities, who said, "We can do something about this crazy society that we're living in."
So in the 1990s, long after all this, Steve Stevenson, who we heard before, decided to take it upon himself to figure out whatever happened to Rodriguez, because there were all kinds of rumors. The main one was that Rodriguez had set himself on fire on stage one night and was dead. So here is Steve Stevenson talking about his search for Sixto Rodriguez.
I've been looking for information about Rodriguez for a long time. I've even set up a webpage called The Great Rodriguez Hunt in the hope that someone out there in cyberspace would post a message on the forum giving us any information about Rodriguez. But there was nothing.
So how did the search end?
Yeah, so this fan basically, what he's looking for is the story on how did Rodriguez die, because in South Africa, Rodriguez is as famous and as dead as Jimi Hendrix, but there are different versions on how he died, and that's strange. You can only die once, you know, you only die once, so how did he die? And he started to search for clues on the, you know, there was not much information on the album, so he started to look for clues inside the lyrics, and he found a few geographical references, and finally they found references to Detroit, where they start to search, and they find a producer, and the producer tells him, "No, Rodriguez is alive. He's living down the street, basically. I call him and tell him." So they do. I mean, they call Rodriguez, and that's where I started the story. I mean, he doesn't understand what they're saying, so they say, just come here. So they convince him to come, and the airplane opens its door, and he's dressed in his working gear. He never, you know, and it's a red carpet, security guards, limousines, paparazzis. He kind of walk around the limousine because he thinks it's for some president in the plane. So the security guards go out on the tarmac and pull him inside the limousines. He watches out from the window of the limousine. On every lamppost on the highway, he sees his own face. Rodriguez live, Johannesburg, Rodriguez live, Cape Town. It's a fairy tale. It's insane that this actually happened the way it happened. It's like Cinderella or something.
And it's not a spoiler to say that in 1998, Rodriguez was discovered alive and well and living in Detroit. The film is has plenty of stuff that is not that mystery, let's just say. And I don't know if you'd be surprised that we asked our listeners if there are any Rodriguez fans out there, and we've gotten about 8 calls. So we're going to talk to some of those people in just a minute. But first, I want to give everybody one more taste of the music of Sixto Rodriguez. This is that song you were talking about before, Establishment Blues, and that Steverman refers to in the clip we played earlier.
The mayor hides the crime rate. Councilwoman hesitates. Public gets irate, but forgets the vote date. Weatherman complaining. Predicted sun, it's raining. Everyone's protesting. Boyfriend keeps suggesting, you're not like all of the rest. Garbage ain't collected, women ain't protected. Politicians using, people they're abusing. The mafia's getting bigger, like pollution in the river. And you tell me that this is where it's at.
Rodriguez from Establishment Blues. And Martin in Midtown, you saw him live?
Yes, I am, Ryan. Thanks for taking my call.
And I take it from your voice you're from South Africa?
I am indeed. I'm from Cape Town, South Africa.
And do you confirm the stories we've been hearing about how huge he was?
I confirm it 100%. And do you know what? The funny thing is, I went to university in the 90s, and it was still a soundtrack for us in the 90s. In fact, I worked at the first general elections in South Africa, and we had the CD pretty much on a loop at the polling station where I was working.
Where did you see him?
I saw him in Johannesburg.
What kind of band did he have?
You know, we weren't very used to live acts out there, so to us it was, just a fantastic show. Artists usually only came out on their way to Australia in the 90s in South Africa, so for Rodriguez to have come out, I can tell you that it was just almost a spiritual experience being out there and seeing him perform live. And another rumor we heard was that he landed in South Africa without a guitar, that somebody had to buy him a guitar so that he could go and play the show.
Huh. Martin, great story. Thank you. Shireen in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Shireen.
Hi. I have a funny story. My husband's South African, and I was living with him in Johannesburg for 6 years. And we were driving around and listening to the radio. It was like a solid gold. They were playing oldies but goodies. And on came this song, and my husband was singing to it. And I said, who's this? And he said, Rodriguez. And I said, I've never heard of him before. And he said, how could you have never heard of him? You know, he's from the U.S., and, he's as big as Bob Dylan. And I said, I've never heard of this guy before. And it wasn't until I saw the movie that I made the connection. And I think it's so interesting that Americans don't know this guy. And he's just so big in South Africa.
Shireen, thank you very much. One more, Aviva in White Plains. You're on WNYC. Hi, Aviva.
Hi. Also South African from Johannesburg, and pretty much the same story to tell. I just assumed that everyone in the world knew the music. I was completely shocked when I found that people had never heard of him. And the stuff that the movie speaks about him being, you know, sort of a subversive voice at a time where, you know, the government was incredibly repressive and oppressive. It's really true. I was about 16, 17 years old when his album came out, and my friends and I listened to it all the time, and it definitely gave us courage in terms of protesting the, you know, apartheid at the time. It was definitely the soundtrack of that whole part of our life.
How about that? Aviva, thank you very much. And we're talking to the filmmaker of Searching for Sugar Man about the music of Sixto Rodriguez, basically unknown in the United States, but a star at the level of the Beatles or Bob Dylan, as you've been hearing in South Africa, especially in the 70s and 80s. We're talking to the filmmaker Malik Benjalul as the first in our five-part series with all the directors of the best documentary Oscar nominees. So Rodriguez is now on a world tour. He's performing in South Africa this weekend, I understand. He'll be performing in New York in April. Is he a reluctant rock star, or has he embraced stardom now some 40 years after he tried to be a star?
He's a reluctant celebrity, but he's not a reluctant rock star, I would say.
What's
he loves
difference?
Performing. He, uh-huh. he loves singing, and that's so he's very happy right now, actually.
The Oscars are on February 24th. Good luck. You're
Thank you.
Already in L.A. As a first-time filmmaker, how is all this buzz for you?
It's insane. It's surreal. It's absolutely crazy, those last weeks. A lot of fun, though.
Are you committed to being a filmmaker now that your first one was a hit?
I don't know. It's a very exciting job. I mean, it's tell stories is the most beautiful thing you can do. People, I think it's very to give people some kind of emotion. It's beautiful, and I wish I could do it again.
What else do you do? What's your day job?
None. I basically sat editing for 4 years. 1,000 days I spent editing
this film.
This film, yes. I have to find out what to do with my life now.
Do you have a next film in the works?
I do have ideas, so yeah, hopefully I will.
Just one more thing. I wonder if this story could even be repeated in today's music industry. Rodriguez could have released his music on YouTube and would definitely have known if he was super famous in South Africa. His whole life would have been different, right?
That's right. It's these things. I mean, it was South Africa during apartheid, so it was a very isolated country. It was a man who was living in a house without a telephone, so he was very isolated too. And it was a time before the internet. Now I guess it can't happen.
Well, Malik Benjalul, nominated for Best Documentary for the film Searching for Sugar Man. Thanks a lot again for joining us today.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you.
We'll have the directors of the 4 other nominated films next week. We'll end this segment with another song. Here's Inner City Blues off of the Cold Fact album of Rodriguez. Sugar Man, by the way, Searching for Sugar Man is playing at the Village East Cinema.
Going down a dirty inner city side of the road, I plotted. Madness passed me by, she smiled high. I nodded, looked up at the sky, began to cry. She shot it. Met a girl from Dearborn early 6 o'clock this morning, Colfax. Asked about a bag, suburbia such a drag, won't go back. 'Cause Papa don't allow no new ideas here, and now he sees the news, but the picture's not too